New heading, How to Create a Compelling Scoreboard. Through involvement and synergy, that is, modeling the seven habits, identify the key measure for your organizational or team goals and make a visual representation of them. The scoreboard should make three things absolutely clear. From what, to what, by when. Here are the three steps of creating a compelling scoreboard. First, list your top priorities or wildly important goals, those your team simply must achieve. 2. Create a scoreboard for each one with these elements. The current results, in other words, where we are now. The target results, where we need to be. The deadline, by when. The scoreboard may take the form of a bar graph, a trend line, a pie chart, or a Gantt chart. Or it may look like a thermometer or a speedometer or a scale. You decide, but make it visible, dynamic, and accessible. Remember also that because ends pre-exist in the means, you might consider including measures in the scoreboard regarding principle-centered values. 3. Post the scoreboard and ask people to review it every day, every week, as appropriate. Meet over it, discuss it, and resolve issues as they come up. All team members should be able to see the scoreboard and watch it change moment by moment, day by day, or week by week. They should be discussing it all of the time. They should never really take their minds off it. The compelling scoreboard has the effect of keeping score in a street game. All of a sudden, the tempo changes. People work faster, conversations change, people adapt quickly to new issues, and you get to the goal more precisely and rapidly. The third discipline is to translate lofty goals into specific actions. It's one thing to come up with a new goal or strategy. It's quite another to actually turn that goal into action, to break it down into new behaviors and activities at all levels, including the front line. There is a vast difference between the stated strategy and the real strategy. The stated strategy is what is communicated. The real strategy is what people do every day. To achieve goals you've never achieved before, you need to start doing things you've never done before. Just because the leaders may know what the goals are doesn't mean that the people on the front line, where the real action takes place, know what to do. Goals will never be achieved until everyone on the team knows exactly what they're supposed to do about them. In the last analysis, the front line produces the bottom line. They are the creative knowledge workers. Leadership, remember, is a choice, not a position. It can be distributed everywhere, at all levels of the organization. Also remember, you cannot hold people responsible for results if you supervise their methods. You then become responsible for results, and rules replace human judgment, creativity, and responsibility. To practice this discipline, your team must get creative, must identify the new and better behaviors needed to achieve your goals, then translate them into weekly and daily tasks at all levels of the organization. This is empowering at the cutting edge of action. Discipline 4. Hold each other accountable all of the time. In the most effective teams, people meet frequently, monthly, weekly, or even daily, to account for their commitments, examine the scoreboard, resolve issues, and decide how to support one another. Unless everyone on a team holds everyone else accountable all of the time, the process will be dead on arrival. Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, widely credited with the Renaissance of New York City, held regular morning meetings with his staff. The idea was to account for progress on key goals every single day. Re-engaging less than weekly allows the team to drift off course and lose focus. A self-empowering team, then, will focus and refocus in frequent accountability sessions. Such meetings are not like the typical staff meetings, where people talk about everything under the sun and can't wait for the meeting to end so they can get back to their real work. The purpose of an effective accountability session is to move the key goals forward. Three key practices are characteristic of effective accountability sessions. Triage reporting, finding third alternatives, and clearing the path. Triage reporting. In a hospital emergency room, you will often see a large notice posted that goes something like this. Patients are treated in order of seriousness, not arrival. The medical staff conducts a process called triage, in which casualties are sorted and treated based on the severity of their condition. This is why your broken arm has to wait while the doctors work on a patient with a brain injury, even though you might have arrived first. In triage reporting, everyone reports quickly on the vital few issues, leaving the less important issues for another time. They focus on key results, major problems, and high-level issues. This doesn't mean that only urgent issues are discussed. It means that only important issues are discussed, even if some of these issues are not urgent. Think about the contrast between the typical staff meeting and an effective accountability session. Under triage reporting of an effective accountability session, there is a quick reporting of vital few issues, a review of the scoreboard, follow-up, mutual accountability. People openly report struggles and failures, and they celebrate successes. Typical staff meetings are more like a death march around the room where people feel pressured to talk while everyone else checks out. There's no measures of progress, no follow-up, only the manager holds people accountable. People hide their struggles and failures, and they focus only on problems. Another key practice of effective accountability sessions is finding third alternatives. In effective accountability sessions, there is intense focus on how to achieve the key goals. The principle here is that a new goal that we've never achieved before requires doing things we've never done before. That means we're constantly looking for new and better behavior that will get us to the goal. That's why we must find third alternatives, courses of action that are better than my way or your way, but that are a product of our best thinking. Remember again, we produce synergy by honoring diversity or differences, that is, individual differences in the context of unity on mission, values, vision, and WIGS, the wildly important goals. In such sessions, you see a lot of brainstorming going on, time allocated for creative dialogue. Consider now the contrast between the typical staff meeting and an effective accountability session. The effective accountability session, which is looking for third alternatives, is energetic and filled with synergistic problem solving. New and better ideas are created, where 1 + 1 = 3, or 11, or 100, or more, and taps into the wisdom of the group. The typical staff meeting results often in all talk and no action. No time or environment for creative dialogue is a kind of forced consensus and often compromise, and leads to what we can often call the lone genius. And that's why you get the expression loneliness at the top. The third practice of effective accountability sessions, in addition to triage reporting, finding third alternatives, is clearing the path. To a great extent, effective leadership consists of clearing the path of barriers and aligning goals and systems so that others can achieve their goals. In a true win-win agreement process, the manager agrees to clear the path, to do things only he or she can do, to enable the worker to achieve. Of course, it's not just the manager who clears the path for others. It's everyone's job. Thus, in an effective accountability session, you'll hear people ask, "How can I clear the path for you?" Or, "I'm struggling with this issue and need some help." Or, "What can we do to help you get that done?" Now contrast the difference between the typical staff meeting and an effective accountability session, so that a stroke of the pen for me eliminates hours of work for you and gives the sense that we're in this together, and admitting with humility you need help and asking for it, where the typical staff meeting often results in getting stuck because of barriers you can't get over by yourself and that you feel like you're on your own, and sometimes you're afraid to even admit when you need help. This is called aligning at the cutting edge of action.